Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Atlanta Business Radio. This is Lee Cantor with my co-host, Mr. Stone Payton. How are you doing, Stone?
I am doing well and very excited to kick the week off with this segment. This is going to be a fun conversation. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Director for the Center of Innovation for Logistics with the Georgia Department of Economic Development, Ms. Janine Miller. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having us on today.
Yeah.
So, Center of Innovation for Logistics, what are you guys doing for folks?
Well, we do our best to help grow business in Georgia, grow jobs, and we do that by supporting the logistics that companies need in the state.
And how do you define logistics? Like, what does that mean?
Logistics is just about anything it takes to get a basic product to market. So it's from its very source at the very beginning of its life, probably as a crop of some sort, whether it's in Georgia or whether it's on the other side of the world, all of the handling and processing it takes to get it to the consumer at the end of the supply chain.
And that consumer could be here in Georgia or it could be anywhere in the world?
That's right. That's right. In fact, Georgia is a global logistics hub because of the, particularly because of the Port of Savannah that we have about 4 hours drive from here.
That's right. Because Georgia's is unique in the sense that their airport is so prominent and internationally. And then this port, a lot of people don't realize that that's such an important component to why Georgia is what it is, right?
I thought it was the grits.
The grits. The exporting of
that's
the grits.
That's what brought me to Georgia.
How about peaches, poultry, pecans, and the logistics it takes to move all those things, too?
But can you talk about the port a little bit and educate our listeners on the importance of the port?
Sure. It's the Georgia Ports Authority is actually a state entity, if you can believe this, but it runs the fastest growing container port in the country, Port of Savannah. And that is second behind New York and New Jersey on the East Coast. So little Savannah down there on our little Georgia, beautiful Georgia coast is really an economic powerhouse, logistics powerhouse. It's the fourth in size around the country. In fact, LA Long Beach is considered two different ports. That's number one. But Savannah moves about 3.5 million containers a year.
Wow.
And Savannah is the closest port to Atlanta.
Now, the Panama Canal, they completed that project. I guess they made it deeper now that larger vessels can go through?
That's exactly right. So, they have just finished it. They're actually going to move their first shipment on Sunday.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And then how is that going to impact Savannah? Is that good for us?
It absolutely is. We have every week we have 39 port calls from around the globe, 39. And at least half of those are coming and going to and from Asia that are going to use that port of that canal of Panama. And what that growth, that's probably about a 50% growth in capacity down in Panama for the volume of containers that can come through on bigger ships. So that's going to, over time, it's not going to be an immediate onslaught, I'd say. It's going to be over time. We're going to be able to grow about 4 to 5% additional containers per year, we think, through Savannah, over and above what was already projected.
And did it require us to adjust our port in order to accommodate the larger ship?
It absolutely did. Very insightful, because the capacity on one end of a supply chain is only as good as the capacity on the other side of it. So we had to be very smart. All ports on the East Coast, but particularly in Savannah, we had to be particularly smart in the way that we expanded our capacity. We're the westernmost East Coast port. So what that means is they have to come up river. The ships have to come up river to get to our to the port where the containers can come on to land and vice versa. And in order to get those bigger ships that are going to come through Panama upriver, we had to increase the depth of the Savannah River, about 40 miles worth of channel deepening. Wow. It's called the Savannah Harbor Expansion Project, or SHEP, as we affectionately know
it. Has it happened already, or it's in the process of happening?
It is thankfully in process. It's a massive infrastructure project
that
has taken almost 20 years to plan and get off the ground. No pun intended, but they are dredging the river right now. They've taken about 1.5 million, maybe a little bit more cubic meters of dirt out of the bottom with a great deal of care for the environment and for history. In fact, they, in order to deepen this river, they had to extract a ship, a vessel from the Civil War, and it has been
so they're finding some stuff when the dredging, right? It's uncovering some history, I would imagine.
That's right. They knew it was there, and that was one of the things we had to be very careful about, right, in doing this deepening. And so this is a big part of our U.S. history, and it's been this this USS Constitution has been moved over to Houston, Texas for preservation, and then it will be on display. But that is apropos, I think, to have moved a ship of war for a ship of peace,
right?
Because we believe that the ships that come and go from the rest of the world bring commerce and bring growth and bring prosperity.
So the Department of Economic Development, there's an awful lot of things that you have been doing and continue to do day to day to grease the skids for all this. This is not something that you declare with executive prowess and power and say, you know, so let it be written, so let it be done. There's a lot of moving parts to all of this. Can you just kind of describe the, you know, a day in the life of Janine? You must be all over the place doing all kind of cool stuff.
Well, I like to say logistics is literally big as all outdoors. I mean, it really is every little bit and part of our economy. In fact, at the Department of Economic Development, we work with companies that are here and that are looking to grow here, move here. And it takes more than a village. It takes the whole state. It takes every aspect of what a company needs to expand and grow as they're looking for a particular site, as they're looking for a type of building, as they're looking for tax incentives, as they're looking for workforce, as they're looking to decrease their environmental footprint, as well as have very robust access to markets and highways and rail that it takes to do that. It is literally, economic development is a team sport, and Georgia does it better than any other state. As of this past year, we've been ranked for the third year in a row by Site Selection Magazine. This is a prominent magazine in corporate expansion location. Site Selection Magazine, third year in a row, has ranked Georgia the number one place to do business.
Yeah, nice.
We're doing it well.
So now, when a company is considering moving or looking at to expand, what can you share some of your pitch of why they should choose Georgia?
Absolutely. Georgia is at the heart of one of the fastest growing regions. So as you talk about this, the demand for a product that a company might be looking to bring to market, whether that market is business to business, a supplier to an OEM auto manufacturer, or a food producer that wants to bring its grocery product to retail markets, those companies look at what is the market for my customer. And Georgia is at the heart of the Southeast region, which is one of the fastest growing regions in the country. Next to the Southeast, and this is terms of last quarter of 2015, had a 2.1% growth of GDP in the Southeast, the same as the West Coast, and the same as New England. So this is just on a rate basis, you know, on a quarterly rate basis. But Georgia is right on par and leading the Southeast for that growth, 2.5% GDP growth. The only one that's more growth in the Southeast is Florida. And you pretty much can't get to Florida in or
unless
out without going through Georgia.
So now, are there certain industries that are more attracted to this part of the country?
There certainly are. Our manufacturing is a big part of the growth that we've seen in jobs and in investment. In the past year, we've had about $4.3 billion of private investment in the state of Georgia. About 2/3 of that was manufacturing plants in terms of dollars.
So when people say that there's no more manufacturing in America, that's not accurate?
It is happening. It is happening in a very big ways. In fact, there's a producer Purchasing Managers Index. You might have heard of the Producer Price Index, but Purchasing Managers Index is a good indicator that tells you what's happening in manufacturing. And around the U.S., it's been hovering a little bit below 50 over the past year. And in Georgia, though, it's been growing. Southeast, it's been growing. As long as you're above the mark of 50, you're growing, you're expanding. Right. And Georgia, the last I saw was close to 53. And we even had a little spike up into near 60. So the growth of manufacturing, not just companies who are looking to invest and build, grow manufacturing plants here, but those that are here and operating are doing well.
Are expanding even more.
Mm-hmm. So I'd like to walk this through if I could. So let's say that I'm a manufacturer of beachware and I've been operating pretty successfully close to the coast in Texas. And I've got my eye on Georgia, maybe because I read the article. Where does that conversation start? And then what are some of the things that happen early in the cycle from getting me from Texas to Georgia? Can you just kind of walk us through what that might look like?
Yeah, there's various reasons that a company might be growing or expanding their current operations versus looking to relocate a manufacturing plant or distribution center. And it is the spectrum of rationale is very, very long. But in a particular instance like that, you might say that the company heard about Georgia, read the article and said, hey, what's going on over there? They would probably call up a site location consultant of one type or another. Could be a real estate firm, could be a law firm, could be a business consulting firm, could even be a supply chain analytics firm and say, hey, you know, I've heard about this place. I've heard they've got great workforce, top in the country, and, you know, folks to actually do the work for me. I've heard they have a really strong business climate. I heard the economy's growing there. You know, can you help me figure out more about what's going on in Georgia? And so
they don't even have to have it that, I mean, they can just have general, they just want general information and you can kind of educate them.
And the site location consultants will come and talk to the project managers at the Department of Economic Development.
So you work together.
We work very closely together with site location consultants throughout the country and throughout every industry. And we have special teams, though, within the department that will work with various types of industries, whether it's in food processing, advanced manufacturing.
They're kind of specialists in that industry.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And where my center comes in, the Center of Innovation for Logistics, we will support those project managers as those companies look at Georgia logistics inbound and outbound. So about 3/4 of the companies that invest in Georgia require logistics, inbound and outbound logistics.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So we help them understand when they're looking at it, they get to that point where they've honed this general idea, they want to expand, they want to come to Georgia to, okay, I've got three different sites. Two of them might be in Georgia, one might be in Louisiana. And we will help them understand, we at the Center of Innovation for Logistics will help those companies to think through some of those final pieces. We'll help them with some pricing analysis on trucking and other surface options like rail. Railroad is actually becoming a very interesting and fine choice for cargo-owning companies to ship throughout the U.S. So we'll help them understand what the pricing is, what the service options might be in terms of time to market, who some providers are, logistics providers, whether it's trucking companies or connecting with the right railroad companies, and kind of give them that full service of what they need to help them make that decision, especially where logistics matters for their business.
Now, recently, I think at the end of April, there was a Georgia Logistics Summit. Can you share some of what went on there?
Indeed. The Georgia Logistics Summit, this was our 8th year we've had this. We started it back in 2009. And the terminology summit is, you know, where people of mutual interest come together to discuss that mutual interest and build relationships and hopefully come to some conclusions and additional partnerships.
But also talk about future trends, right?
Sure.
Isn't that an aspect of
it?
And
that's what it's morphed into for sure. It started out where we had a couple of really prominent folks in Georgia business, one being the governor of the state, one being the head of the Port Authority, Curtis Fultz, and one being the head of the supply chain for a little company called Home Depot, they all came together.
They found some time to make it there. Huh?
That's right.
Must be important.
It was. We just thought of it as a great way to get these very, interrelated folks together to talk about their perspectives and to share with Georgia business, especially the logistics industry. Hey, this is what we see going on today, and this is where, you know, we think business is going, where the state is going. And we had capacity. We thought we'd have like 250 people there, and like 400 showed up. Yeah, we were over capacity. Let's not tell the fire department about that. We were over capacity. It has grown tremendously because of, I think, the simple nature of what the logistics industry and supply chain is. It requires companies to partner with each other, to interact with each other, to know that they can trust each other in the various aspects that it takes to move goods from one place to another. Sounds very simple, but it gets complex when you're interacting with each other on very valuable cargo.
Sure.
That's valuable either in the dollar amounts of what's being moved, or valuable as in if it doesn't get there on time and undamaged, I can't make money from it. Valuable that way. It really is at the heart of most businesses in Georgia. So in order to do that, a lot of companies will outsource their logistics to a third-party provider, whether that provider simply does warehousing and distribution center operations for them, or whether that provider gives the whole full spectrum of solutions like UPS up the road here, who about 10 years ago expanded out of its just parcel-only service that we know of them as into truckload and have really grown tremendously from there. So the summit creates that place where companies who own the cargo and companies who can provide the various types of services to get that cargo from point A to point B can come together and talk about Georgia-specific opportunities, trends, how to meet challenges together. It's really become a great thing. So this past year, we had about 1,400 attendees.
Wow.
Yeah, at the Georgia World Congress Center, and we'll be back there in May and looking forward to another great agenda.
Don't you find it interesting? I guess I can't say surprised, but certainly interesting that it all comes down to relationship. I mean, that is at the core of something as complex and involved as this, as it is for, you know, the guy selling hot dogs down at the corner. You got to trust him, have a relationship. Isn't that something?
That's absolutely the case on grander scale, of course,
right.
In some cases, but in some cases not. I mean, I hear about companies, actually some farmers, you know, in South Georgia who happened to have grown an extra batch of ginger. And how did they get it to the farmer's market? Well, they put it in the back of a pickup truck. But then it grows to a point where we have had a particular success story with the a company who produced some pepper jelly. And she just got to a point where her growth was so much, she said, oh my gosh, I can't transport this myself anymore. Where do I go? How do I get the right company in here? How do I meet those people? And you have to get to know those business owners, those business operators who you're going to hand over your precious freight to in some way, shape, or form. And it usually is with interpersonal relationships. Hey, I've worked with this person. I've worked with this company. There's track records. There's, you know, there's various metrics that can be used. But because every supply chain is unique and every supply chain has its own origins, destinations, seasonality issues. Some cargo needs to be refrigerated and have that consistent temperature control from every aspect of the supply chain. You have to be able to trust who you're working with. Part of that trust, like you said, is interpersonal. Another part of that trust is with the, I'd say the basic fundamentals that the rest of us do business in the world of legal contracts and the world of financial arrangements and payment terms, so that there is a whole system. It's actually become globalized, harmonized tariff system and other types of customs and payment incoterms, you name it, that creates those standards that people can also rely on. So we have advanced beyond just the interpersonal. On top of that is technology that supports. So you can enhance both the interpersonal relationships and business relationships and trust you've built over time with the standardized contractual and financial terms are now becoming married with and supported by technology. Things like tracking and tracing. Where's my cargo? I can, you know, oftentimes look it up on an app that a technology company might have provided to you or to your trucking company to track your freight, make sure it's at the right temperature, you name it.
Now, speaking of technology, I had the opportunity recently to go inside of a Tesla, and they have a self-driving component to it. And I know some states are testing self-driving trucking. Is that something that Georgia is looking into?
Let's see. Testing is probably an overstatement. If any states are doing it, it's probably happening on private property.
Mm-hmm. Some good old boys on the back 40 are taking her for a spin.
Well, I was in a car that I didn't have my hands on the wheel, and that was quite an experience. And if they're doing it for the consumer on Georgia 400, I would imagine that it's going to be here soon. It's not going to not be here.
Some people want to speculate that it'll be here, you know, next year. And Right. Some people say, please never let a truck go down the road without a driver behind the wheel. There are really two very conflicting interests there that have to be reconciled over time with public policy. So that's why I think if they're doing testing, it's on private land, not on public roadways. But we were going to have something, I think, unique here. I'm certain it will be unique here in Georgia. Recently, the Georgia Department of Transportation has announced truck-only lanes that are being planned and will be built in the next 10 years. It's going to be just south of Atlanta between Macon and Henry County.
Oh, thank God.
Right?
Yes, because I take that strip on my way to see family. Yes, good.
Well, and you're probably dealing with some rough patches right now because of the construction that's happening on the regular toll lane. Those are going to be toll lanes that you'll be able to... It really enjoy paying just a couple dollars and flying by all that traffic, I guarantee you.
And I'll be happy to pay it.
I think in the year and a half from now, you'll be very, very pleased as you're rolling quickly down the highway.
Oh, that is good news.
Yes. But right just south of that, they're going to be building truck lanes. It's going to be 40, 45 miles of truck-only lanes. The only ones in the country. Now, there are some truck-only lanes on the New Jersey Turnpike, but those are where those are instances around the country. Very, very few of them. They're always in a toll fashion or an exclusive use fashion. These are going to be open to the general trucking public on one of the most trafficked highways in the country for trucks. So that creates a test bed potentially for us as the state of Georgia, as DOT is exploring what the technology options will be and test bedding right there in Georgia. It's going to be a huge advantage for us.
So now this type of, at least where the driver doesn't have to be fully engaged to the point that they are today, that's something that it seems like it's going to happen at some point in time. Obviously, it's not today, tomorrow, this year, next year. 5 to 10 years seemed like a window that it could happen.
Yeah. I mean, I truly believe the technology is out there to do it in the course of the next year or so. I really do have faith in that aspect of it. It's where that technology comes into the real world,
right?
Both on the day-to-day, moment-by-moment, second-by-second turn decisions of the randomness of highway traffic. I think we experience that on a day-to-day basis here in Atlanta. But on top of that, it's the public policy behind it. I mean, you know, there's a great deal of interest in making sure that our roads are safe. We've had a lot of challenges with that across the country with distracted driving. And you would think that technology could support that, could mitigate that, maybe eliminate that as an issue. But when you think about a car that's, you know, a couple 1,000 pounds rolling down the highway and you're not really paying attention, how about a truck that's 100,000 pounds that doesn't have anybody behind the wheel?
Right.
That gets a little bit more trepidatious as the general public thinks about that, and the policymakers have to ascertain what's the best use case. How do we really protect the public while promoting business? That more efficiency that would come from that. I mean, we are in the logistics industry, dealing with a truck driver shortage, that we have about 1.6 million truck drivers now, which is still short of the number of truck drivers we had in 2007. So, but more freight to move. So I'm going to take a little sidestep here for you and tell you that according to recent U.S. Department of Transportation study, they found that every person requires more than 63 tons of cargo a year. So,
wow.
That's a tractor trailer load per person.
Wow.
And the population's growing, right?
Right.
So we have more freight to move and fewer
Less
truck drivers
to
move it.
Well, mine's mostly pork products.
Yeah, he likes his pig products.
Absolutely. So I got to know, what's your backstory? How does one land in a role like this leading in your career?
A great deal of very smart and nice people giving this very oddly passionate person a lot of opportunity. I got my undergrad in nutrition.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
And I always found it fascinating, you know, that we as a society expect our 18, 19, 20-year-olds to know what they want to do for the rest of their lives. So, you know, I said, well, I'll get into this. And I really did enjoy it for a while, but I found that there was a part of me, a passion that I wasn't able to work in, and that was in public policy and business. So I went back, got my master's degree at the admonition of my grandmother since I was 5 years old. She told me, you know, you're getting your master's degree. And so I fulfilled that mission with a master's of public administration at Georgia State University. And that brought me into a great deal of understanding and world of opportunity where government works with business, particularly in transportation, economic development. I did finance budget work for governor's office, worked at the Atlanta Regional Commission. So I really can understand how federal planning enacts itself at the local and regional level and dealing with people and freight transportation, and found that, well, see, this was back in the early 2000s where we were really at a pinch point. We had just come out, Atlanta had just come out of the 90s where we were just boomtown, just growing like crazy, right? Mm-hmm. Traffic was absolutely mind-boggling. It still is, but at the time, we didn't know what to do with it. We didn't know how to manage around it, and it was really, really impacting our lives more so than we had planned for it, wanted it to. And so we're trying to figure out how do we fix this? I mean, we need to build more roads. We know we need to build more transit and have additional options and bike paths and things like that for folks to be able to get around in, you know, smaller commutes and things like that. But how do we get there? We had the lowest gas tax in the country. So what was it that we're going to be able to do to move our elected officials to a place where they felt confident that this was the best place to put their money, that transportation was the investment for the future? So we embarked upon some work with the governor's office and McKinsey, and showed a tremendous return on investment, at least 5-to-1 in some cases, much more in others, especially when we're talking about freight, where if we expand our capacity in road and transit, we would be able to continue that growth pattern. But if we didn't make the investment, we wouldn't. So we put a strategic plan together at the state level, worked very closely with the Department of Transportation, State Transportation Board, and were able to move forward. There was a referendum, I think you might remember, about 5 or 6 years ago in 2010. At the time, the voters rejected that referendum. It was that region-wide...
Right, the T-SPLOST.
The region-wide T-SPLOST. And we found in most regions of the country, most metro areas, the very first vote you put out there on transportation, the voters say no, because they don't... They hadn't really contemplated what this could do for them. You know, why would I want to pay more?
And it was a whole state. It was all or nothing, right?
It was a whole state referendum. Yes. And we counted the vote by region. So actually, there were three regions around the state that chose to do this, right through the middle of the state. If you can picture the swath that goes from Augusta in the east over to Columbus, three regions there passed a transportation... But I don't think there was much traffic there. But they realized, right, hey, this matters to my business. This matters to my commute. This matters to my community. And those places we found are benefiting tremendously. The economic development that's being able to go in there because of the additional access to businesses for industrial sites and manufacturing is really paying dividends. So I believe there's another one coming up sometime soon, and we'll see how that goes. But that's how I enacted out some of my work in public administration. I said, you know what? I want to understand business a little better. And after some pretty strong contemplation, I decided to go and get my master's in business administration. So got to really meld the public policy with the business motivations and opportunities. And then I was very, very lucky to be able to come into this role in logistics where it does really merge the two.
Two master's degrees.
Mm-hmm. And I'm done.
No doctorate?
No.
So who'd you bring with you?
I brought with me our centers of innovation. There are actually five other centers of innovation, and we all rely on David Knuckles, who's here with us today.
That's right.
Well, welcome, David.
Yeah.
Can you share a little bit about the other centers?
Yeah, so within the Centers of Innovation program, there are six centers in total. one being logistics, which you need to hear for. We have one for aerospace. They're located in Macon that also serve the rest of the state as well. We have one in agribusiness that works here in Atlanta and down also in Tifton in the South Georgia region. We have one in energy that's here in Atlanta, one in IT, one in logistics, and then one in manufacturing. So we try to cover all the state strategic industries that the state's looking to grow and make sure that we can help provide the resources we need to.
So now on your day-to-day, what do you do? So you work with all of the centers?
I do. So I'm the global account manager for marketing and operations. So I help run the marketing side of the house and also the operations side of the house. So it's, I kind of...
So they think that you can combine those two? Those are...
I guess so. Yeah. And then you add six very distinct industries and run that together.
It's, right, it makes perfect sense.
That's right. So every day is unique. I can be, I'll be traveling with Janine this afternoon to go down to Savannah, actually. So we'll be, I could be talking energy in the morning, IT by lunch, manufacturing.
Dredging the port maybe right. In the evening.
You just never know. Cybersecurity over dinner. I mean, it could all happen. You never know.
So now how have you seen the state kind of evolve? Things happening quickly or compared to other states?
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything's going great in Georgia. I mean, as Janine mentioned earlier, you know, with being the number one state for business and all that's taking place there, there's a lot of growth that continues to happen here, not only in logistics and manufacturing, but you think about financial technology, cybersecurity, and industries related to those. It's just been a great place here.
Now, what type of companies are most excited about moving here?
I'd say almost every company is. I mean, Janine, what do you think?
Yeah, we're seeing it in every industry, manufacturing of all types, suppliers to automotive manufacturers of every tier, one, two, and three tier. We're seeing food processors, food manufacturer, food product manufacturers.
Anything that's surprising you? Any trends or any companies, industries out there that are coming here that you're like, wow, they weren't on my radar, but that's interesting.
I think there's a lot going on in agribusiness that people would be surprised about. Uh-huh.
I think so too. I think in agribusiness, we see a lot in what we call value-added products. You think about traditional farmers that may have an excess crop and say, well, what do I do with this crop now? So now they're making... Oh, there's one company that they had extra pecans, for instance, and so now they're making a pecan butter, which if you have a peanut allergy, it doesn't affect you the same way.
But there's some innovation.
So they just thought, well, we have an extra crop this year. What do we do with it? So now they've got a whole new line of their business that they may not have thought about. So we see a lot of that in the agribusiness side. I think also looking at a different industry would be cybersecurity. I mean, we all know what takes place as far as securing transactions and everything else related to that. But if you look over in the Augusta region, with the NSA moving their cybersecurity hub to Augusta and all the buildup around that as well, the Army Cyber Command. I mean, there's a lot going on in the Augusta region in cybersecurity that 5-10 years ago, we probably would never have thought about.
Mm-hmm. And then Savannah, how much warehouse space is Savannah? It has to be millions and millions of square feet, right?
There are millions and millions, and there's about 3 million available right now, but that capacity is very tight. Our vacancy rate is, last I checked, was probably about 3%, which is very, very tight because of the demand there. A lot of companies are picking a global supply chain solution called the Four Corners, where they will have, they'll be touching four corners of import-export throughout the U.S. on the west, Seattle, L.A., in the east, New York, Savannah. And so Savannah, though, has become a very popular place to go. Like I said, of course, you've got the demand for the product and you've got the growth that's happening in GDP and population in the southeast. But Savannah is probably, and I'm not just saying this because I'm from Georgia and I work with these folks, but everywhere I go, every company that I talk to says, yeah, Savannah is really great to work with. They are so efficient. They're so responsive.
It's that Southern hospitality.
It really does.
It's a secret sauce.
It is. It's Southern hospitality meets global commerce.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, I know a media company that would like very much to have a radio studio in Savannah. As soon as we can find the right person to run it. And I have a real in with them. So I'll get you connected at some point.
Excellent.
So how about you? Did you know this is where your career was headed? And did you load up on a bunch of MBAs?
Or what? No. I did not do that. But I got my undergraduate degree in communication and public relations and kind of fell into economic development. I'll say it that way. Began up in Rome, Georgia, northwest Georgia, working with the Chamber of Commerce there, kind of learning the business community on a small level, working with community leaders and even to some level the state government here, as we would recruit, because we in Rome, we were the group that helped recruit business. So in the same way that the State Department of Economic Development works, we did that on a local level. So I kind of got really interested in that. I did that for 3 years or so, and then fell into this position and have continued to grow here. And thought that it's been unique with the Centers of Innovation, because like I mentioned earlier, everything that we do is truly unique. I mean, every day could be totally different. So I've not done like Janine and loaded up on my MBAs and my MPAs and everything else, but have continued to enjoy what I do here.
So now what's next for you?
I don't plan to go anywhere anytime soon. I enjoy what I do and plan to continue to watch the state grow.
Now, what do you need more of in order to do your job?
I don't know if I need anything more.
You need more companies to move to Georgia?
I'd say anything. If we could take days from 24 hours to 30 hours, I think that'd probably
talk to someone in logistics.
How about you? What do you need and want more from the business community, from the community?
There are lots of demands on our time, that's for sure. I'd say just continue to be engaged and actually would love to, for any of the logistics providers who are listening, come to our website, georgialogistics.com, and put your information about the logistics services that you provide on our website. We use that provider directory. We have about 1,000 companies in there now, and we know there are far more providers in Georgia, and we're actually revamping that provider directory. It's going to be even better and more robust in terms of the information that's there and how to search for it. We'll be about a month from now, by the end of July.
Yeah.
We'll be rolling out our new provider directory. And we use that for many different reasons. There's a whole network of economic development professionals throughout the state who, like I said, you know, they'll have companies that'll come to them and say, hey, you know, I just produced this this widget. I got to get it to my manufacturer in Ohio. How do I get it there? Well, the economic development professionals that company worked with to grow, bring new jobs and new investment to that particular county, say Dade County, that economic development professional would go to our provider directory and say, here's a handful of trucking companies that are going to serve you for that type of move, for that type of cargo that you need to get there on this sort of timeline. And the companies will go to our provider directory to find their services. So if there's logistics providers out there, please load your information onto our provider directory. We also use it at the Department of Economic Development for various
reasons. Is there a fee to do that?
It's free of charge.
Wow.
Courtesy of the state of Georgia.
So there's no excuse not to put your information on there.
Correct. That's right.
And then, so again, can you give the website for that?
Yes, georgialogistics.com. And that's Georgia spelled out.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also find us on Google as well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, is that the best website for you, David, as well?
Yeah. And then also, I mean, if you want to look at the total Center of Innovation program, you can just go to georgia.org/innovation.
Okay. So georgia.org/innovation will give you a heads up on all the different innovation centers
around
the state and the Georgia Logistics.
That's right. That's right.
.com is the one for you.
Yep. And there's also a great deal of information there too at georgia.org particularly about the logistical advantages of Georgia that might spark some interest in mm-hmm. companies who are investigating Atlanta, who are investigating other parts of Georgia. You can find information about the tax incentives that we have, port tax credits as well for companies who are expanding. They can, if they use the port of Savannah, they can get some additional credits on their taxation. There's foreign trade zone is also a huge advantage for importers and exporters of certain types to delay their duties, sometimes avoid duty fees altogether. So there's some information on Georgia foreign trade zones there, as well as the rail aspects, distribution centers. Georgia's just recently been rated as number one for new distribution center from a tax advantage standpoint. So if any companies are looking for a distribution center, Georgia's the place to expand that from a taxation as well as a logistics standpoint. So all kinds of information at georgia.org as well.
Well, thank you, Janine, for being part of the show today. And thank you, David.
Yeah.
This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.